We're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, and especially those raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about words and how our words may affect our children. Tom's going to start with a Bible verse, and then we're going to discuss the concept of using our words. We also have a child development tip for building a strong brain foundation. Stay tuned.
Yes, words are so important. The words that I use to speak to my children have so much influence. The same harsh words could affect each child differently. You know, on the outside, you may not know how they're receiving it on the inside. Inwardly, sometimes we can't see the influence. Do you struggle with choosing your words correctly? Do you say something to your child, then wish you never said it? How can we first react in the way to encourage our children? In other words, I have always said, and I've always thought, and I've always prayed, may my reaction be godly, rather than reacting and then having to come back and correct it. May my reaction be godly. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 14. This says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." You know, this is the last verse of Psalm 19. It's one of my favorite psalms. In the psalm, we learn about God speaking to us through his creation. That's the first six verses. And God speaks to us through his written word, verses 7 through 11. And so this is a great doxology and a great prayer to have our words be controlled and be governed by the word of God. Would you like to encourage your child naturally, automatically, powerfully? Then what we all need to do is spend time in the word of God, spend time in prayer, so that our words that come out automatically, and that's what happens when something gets dropped or a plate gets dropped or something gets torn, what's our first reaction? My prayer is that our first reaction is a godly one, and out comes words of encouragement. Out comes words of walking alongside your child, loving them, being joyful, being the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. May those qualities come out of your heart, come out of your mouth automatically. We give our thoughts and our hearts to the Lord. We pray. And then Psalm 19, 14, again, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer."
And the God who knows our children better than we ever possibly could, and who loves them more than we ever possibly could, which is hard for us to believe because we love our children yes. so much, he is the one who gives us these words of making sure that what we say is going to be pleasing to him. Right. I love that. That's really good. And then he confirms us and affirms us in our relationship with him in that verse in saying, "O Lord, my rock and my redeemer."
That is our fortress. That is our stronghold. That is our solid ground that we can stand on. It's the word of God.
Wow, that's really cool. So when Tom was sharing with me that this is the verse that he had for today in this podcast, one of the first things that came to my mind was the old adage that we grew up with, some of us: sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And I grew up with sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I think we all agree that we have felt the very painful sting of names and or words. As parents, we want to consider, how are your children affected by your words? Because we do know that words will hurt us and do hurt us. These are the things that we thought about. Do you have a very sensitive child who cowers or crumbles with the slightest hint of disapproval from you?
Yes, we definitely have one like that, and sometimes I have to backtrack, and I may not even be mean in what I'm saying. I could just say it loudly or a little impatiently. It's very easy to fall into that, and then I have to say, I'm really pleased with what you're doing. It's just that I reacted in the wrong way.
And our poor children, the gene pool that they have that created them, Tom and I both are very sensitive. And so we have to be careful with our words with each other and, you know, to be careful to explain, I didn't really mean it that way, even though we know that it was received that way. So, you know, we have to be careful with those children. And then there are other children who might be having a harder time hearing in a true listening sense and heeding your direction. So there you've got two different kinds of children, and then there's children all over the spectrum in between them. And we have to stop and consider, who are the children that we are raising and how would it be best to use our words for them? So I started to think about words and being a child and thinking back of some of the struggles that happened to me. I remember when I was a child, I once had to create an assignment for school, and this was elementary school. It was a poem. When I showed that poem to a very influential and, an adult in my life, she looked at me with disbelieving eyes, and the next thing out of her mouth was, "You didn't do this. It is too good."
Mm.
What a heartbreak. And all these many years later, I remember that. And then there was my first crush. His name was David, and he lived about 5 houses away from me. I was head over heels in like with him. I don't think I was even in high school yet, so I'm guessing I was a middle school girl. In my eyes, he was a major heartthrob. We rode the same bus to and from school. One day, one of my quote unquote girlfriends said to him in my hearing, "Did you know that Julie likes you?" Of course, you're mortified when those things happen, right? I was even more mortified to hear his response. "What? That fat thing?" Wow, what a downward spiral. And both of those things happened a very long time ago. However, they are as fresh in my mind now as they were back then, and they even elicit some of the same emotions. So I'm sure, Tom, that you can remember as you were growing up that, and you moms and dads out there, that there were people in your life that you remember being very positive and encouraging, and you have a very kindness thinking process toward them. And then you might remember when you were crushed in your spirit by something someone said along the way. And it really does make a difference. Words do matter, don't they?
Yes, they do. It's very, very important to choose your words carefully.
Yes.
And not only just choosing your words, but the attitude behind the words. Maybe there you could say yes in a positive way, or you could say yes in a negative way.
Yes, 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 yes. So I was just thinking about some of the material that we have been trained to present for the National Center for Biblical Parenting. And one of those things is all about words, and it's all about attitude. And one concept is about honor and respect. And how do you honor another person? And, you know, using words unkindly in an attitudinal, in a bad and negative attitude way is not good. You know, it really does break down relationships. And that's really what we're talking about here. We want to build those relationships up. So here's a question.
Is it your goal to be more encouraging than critical to your children? That's a good one.
Yeah.
What is your goal? Do you want to be encouraging to your children, or do you want to criticize your child? And sometimes it's in the name of teaching. You know, you hear something and you say, oh, well, I'm going to teach you so that the next time you don't have to go through it. And so the attitude behind the teaching voice can sound pretty critical.
Absolutely. And so I think that there's not a parent really on the planet who really cares about their children who wants to be a negative influence on their child or wants to be very critical. But let's think about life as it goes on. You know, you're trying to get kids out the door for school and they are just not cooperating with you, or things aren't going fast enough, or there isn't enough time and there's so many more things to do and you're feeling that pressure and the child is just not catching up or processing things as quickly as you want them to. And there's a great deal of frustration. And I think Tom was referring to that a little bit as being reactive. We can easily be reactive toward our children, and then they will see that as being critical and negative. So, you know, allowing enough time, always, you know, giving yourself, and things are always going to happen no matter what. But if we have an idea, if we sit down and we think about it proactively beforehand, before we're in the moment, then we will more than likely have, if we have a plan in effect, then we will more than likely, you know, default to that as opposed to being critical.
Yeah, it might be a good idea to stop and think about how you communicate. Take notes on when situations happen.
Good.
What is my reaction? If you know, you can just develop a diary or just think about what's going on.
Often aware of what our reactions are, mm-hmm. and how that might be affecting our child. We're in the moment. We're trying to get out the door, or we're trying to get dinner on the table, or we're trying to get kids bathed and into bed. You know, that those moments are the most stressful, aren't they?
Or they come in and ask that one question that they asked just 3 minutes ago, and you're wondering, why did they ask that question again?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're supposed to be doing something else, and they've come and asked you another question.
Yeah. So we have to be very careful about being reaction-driven.
Right.
And maybe it is, like Tom said, a good idea to stop and think about how you communicate and what are you more inclined to give those positive action words or the negative action words. So that's really important. Sometimes later in the evening, we'll find ourselves in a store like Walmart or the grocery store. And what breaks our hearts is when we hear adults talking to children very unkindly with their words and their attitudes. And we know that this is going to affect those children for a very long time.
And a lot of times it comes out of frustration.
Of course, yeah, because everybody's tired and you just want to get the things. You know, as a parent, you just want to get the things you need to get and get out of the store. And the child wants everything along the line. You know, everything that's in the store that is attractive to the child, they want it. Or they're just done. They're done with the day. They're in a meltdown mode and everybody's frustrated. But again, you know, do we want to be reactive or do we want to be proactive in the way that we respond to our children? And maybe we want to ask the question, if we don't have to be at Walmart or at the grocery store at this hour of the day, maybe there's a different way we can do this. Now, sometimes if you're a single parent or you're a working mom or dad and you've got to get to the store on the way home and the child is tired, you know, sometimes you just can't help it. You just got to do that. But it does matter what we say and how we say it. So we want to stop and think before we speak. The Bible has a lot of verses about the tongue. I'm always convicted by those verses because I, as you probably can imagine from this podcast and any other podcast that you've listened to, I'm the more verbose of the two of us, and I have a tendency to have lots of words. So years ago, one of my mentors pointed out all of the verses in the scriptures with the word or the idea of tongue or speaking in them. It was quite an eye-opener for me. My favorite one, I think you guys will love this, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. So now we have adult children, and The best approach with an adult child is to never give advice unless you're asked. Do you know how hard it is when you're watching your children reinvent the wheel that we've already established doesn't work very well, or just watching them struggle with something that we think we have wisdom about? Do you know how hard it is to not give advice? Well, I think we have permanent ridges in our tongue from holding our tongue. And this verse really helps. But he who holds his tongue is wise.
Right. When words are many, sin is not absent. There's another verse that says, even the fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut.
I like that one. Even the fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut. So I'm thinking about a friend that I know who, when we're in some kind of a meeting, says hardly a word during the entire brainstorming process. And then at the end of the meeting, he will analytically recap all of the discussion in a few sentences. This person has been holding his tongue, and then he presents his argument. It's kind of fascinating to watch that process, and we can learn a lot from that. Okay, now the reality is, parents, we're going to mess up. You know, even when we have the best intentions, we're going to mess up. We are. So what are you going to do about that? I would suggest the forgiveness concept.
Absolutely.
So we are forgiven. If we are in Christ, we are forgiven, right? And so we can extend forgiveness to our children, and then we can humbly go to our children and ask them to extend forgiveness to us. So get into the habit. When you mess up, go to your children and say, I messed up, and this is how I messed up. Will you forgive me?
Absolutely.
Children are very, very forgiving. We are shocked. We have been shocked over the last 27 years of raising our kids.
And develop that relationship with your child.
Yes.
Very important. Okay, very good. That was some good discussion there. Now let's go on to the tip of the week.
Alrighty.
And that is sharpening your child's brain foundation. What do we do to get our children to grow and to get more mature?
Okay, when our first three children were born, we were concerned about their development, just like any parent is. However, we really didn't begin to have a passion to understand how we could facilitate good brain development until our Amy was born with a syndrome that carried with it multiple disabilities. The journey of the last 20 years has taught us much about stimulating the brain to create a strong foundation and then to build upon that foundation. One of the most foundational child development steps that you want to make sure is strong is cross-patterning.
Yes, so the cross-patterning is extremely important. So how do you develop a good cross-patterning foundation in your child's brain? Through very simple but critical development steps. You may be surprised to find out what they are. It's the gross motor skills of...
Here we go. Cross-pattern crawling, cross-pattern creeping, cross-pattern walking, cross-pattern marching, cross-pattern skipping. I see a pattern here.
Yes. Yes.
And so what is cross-pattern crawling? Crawling on the belly, you know, that first thing that they do when they're on their belly and they start to scoot forward and they're starting to get that impact of moving forward. So this is before they get up on their hands and knees. This is the little thing on the belly, okay? So what do we want to see? What matters in this development? And what do we want to see in our children? We want to see, and this may really be a surprise to some of you, the right leg and the left arm, so opposites, should be working together. The right leg and the left arm, and then opposites. The left leg and the right arm all should be working together. And that's a cross-pattern motion. If you Google cross-patterning or cross-pattern crawling, you can find some videos that will show you a good motion. So what do we want to see? We want to see the leg pushing and the arm pulling so that child can propel themselves across the room. We want to see the head looking at the hand that's raised in the motion, switching back and forth from right to left with the movement. We want to see a smooth, synchronized motion with the cross pattern movement that we described above. So watch for these things. Tom and I have seen a large variety of ways the kids move themselves when we ask them to get on their bellies and do an army crawl. So watch for this. Is he or she tending to work homolaterally, which means same side? Does the right arm and leg work together? And vice versa, that's homolateral, rights and lefts, as opposed to right and left together, right and left together. Is the head moving to look at that upraised hand? How smooth is the motion? Is it synchronized? And then we're going to talk about cross pattern creeping. So crawling is army crawl on the belly. The next stage is creeping up on the hands and knees like a puppy or a kitten.
Yeah, and our granddaughter is heading to that stage soon.
Yes, she is. It's so fun to watch her progress. She's 6 months old now, and we can see that she's putting all those things in place. She's on her belly, and she's trying to figure out how to scoot forward. So it'll be fun to watch that progress. So creeping up on the hands and knees, what do we want to see? Very similar to crawling on the belly. We want the right leg and the left hand moving at the same time. We want the right leg and the right hand. Okay, did I say that right? The right leg and the left hand, and then the left leg and the right hand. We want to see a good, smooth, synchronized motion. We want to see the hands in front and flat as the child moves. We want to see the toes of the feet dragging on the floor. Watch for hands that tend to shift sideways or not flat on the floor. Feet that are hanging up in the air during the movement. Homolateral, or that same side movement that we described before, as opposed to cross pattern movement. And awkward movement, as opposed to synchronized and smooth movements. And the next stage would be the cross pattern walking, and you can imagine what that would look like. And marching and skipping. So we're just looking for, with the march, a good march with the knees high. Not super high, but not wimpy. Each hand reaching for the opposite knee. And that's what you want to see with the walk. Reaching for the opposite knee. Okay? And good synchronized, non-labor, don't have to think about it, movement. So watching for, in the cross march, wimpy knee bends. Hands reaching for the same side knees. Awkward movement instead of smooth. And having to think about moving in the cross pattern versus it being automatic. And the same with skipping. It's the same idea. Okay. So, a really fun way to work on these things, because if you see an inefficiency, you want to correct it. And a really fun way to work on them is to get the children set up an obstacle course for them. And so you want to make sure they're doing the crawl, the creep, the march, the skip, and the walking in a way that will facilitate that cross pattern movement. If they're not doing it, you can model it. You can videotape modeling it and then show that to them and do it with them. And that will help them to know what's the proper way to do this. Why does it matter? It matters because if you have an inefficiency in the cross pattern crawling and creeping, it could lead to struggles in following directions. Reading. Yes. Creeping and crawling have everything to do with a struggling reader. Isn't that interesting? Temper tantrums, organization, and maturity. So working on building a strong foundation in the brain will be beneficial for your child now and for the rest of his or her life.
And one important thing is, if your child has missed the crawling stage, has gone right to walking.
Not good. It's not good, because they're missing those pieces in the brain that have the strong foundation. You know, with a house, if you don't have a strong foundation and you build stuff on top of that, it's going to crumble, isn't it? And that's what happens with our kids. Some of this development is not strong, and it's not a solid foundation. It's like building your house on the sand.
So these are things that we've learned over the years with our kids, especially facilitating every step of development with our Amy.
Yeah, because she did nothing on her own.
Right.
So.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Julie. And remember, it's never too late, and there's always hope for your child. We are Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the Ministry of Champions for Parents. We are USA missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges, through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups wherever they may meet. And we have spoken to parenting conferences and groups all over. We also like to talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and
empowerment.
Yes, it was on the other page. We want to empower all parents, and especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond. And what we're finding out, many, many parents are saying, all my children have challenges at one time or another. Yes. If you know of any parenting groups who are looking for a speaker, send us an email at championsforparents, and that's a number 4, championsforparents@gmail.com, and let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com, and we would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle in their families and you're looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who has been there, and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.